just a worker of the Lord, a teacher of the Lord, and teacher of the Word. And so I just want to have her come up and share. She's got a, she'll tell you all about what she does and her ministry.
In this house, it's a blessing to be in this house because it's a blessing to have pastors that are in this house and to see their heart for the Lord, to see their heart to serve people the way they do is just really refreshing these days. And so I am honored to be here. I'm honored to be here, not just because I enjoy the house, but I'm just so happy to be invited to share about my ministry. Praise the Lord. My ministry has been around a little bit. This year is 20 years. Praise God. Thank you. I don't look like I've been doing this for 20 years. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, Walk Free, it teaches the spiritual principles of walking free. And it is good that we have dominion. It's good that we can reach into the heavenlies and we can bind demons and devils. But sometimes we need to learn how to do it for ourselves in our own life. And when we get a handle on how to walk free in our own lives and to really figure out what's going on and how to attack and take dominion and how to have victory over the devil and our own lives and those around us, then we can truly walk in the dominion that God has for us on a different level. Praise the Lord. Well, let me share with you. Let me get some housekeeping. Let me share about Walk Free. This is exciting. Walk Free has been taught locally, of course, been regionally, been internationally, traveled around across the world to minister it. It's been done in all kinds of formats. And I've done it like a straight shot like today. I've done it in women's conferences. I've done it in conferences. And just however you can think, we've done it. And real excited for what the Lord is doing currently is we're getting ready to take it online and do online courses. We've had it translated into the Tamil language over in India. So we're looking forward to planning a work there. So God is just awesome. He's just awesome in how he's faithful. You know, I said 20 years. We've been over the world. We've done it in different formats. But it's not been consistent. And we have to know our times and we have to know our seasons. And in these 20 years, you know, sometimes it's been a time to lay it down. And sometimes it's been a time to lift it up. And God will release it in a different expression. And that is so important in our ministries to know how to walk in and out of the things of God and how to move and breathe in Him. And that's how I actually, if I could share with you how I started in this ministry. You think, how did you get started casting out devils? It's like, I mean, really, I don't want to cast out devils. I really don't want to do it. I really don't want the ministry. There's people that have looked to see what I do and go, wow, you know, and it's like, really? You know, it's not all it's cracked up to be. Really, I mean, it's, and I suppose that's why he's given this ministry to me, because it, you know, you could get on a power trip, but you know, you look at it in perspective of how it's done. And the Bible says that deliverance happens by the finger of God. By the finger of God. When you realize that it's not you doing it, but you see him reaching down and touching those people, and you see him move and they're changed and set free, then you just go, wow, God, you're great. You're awesome. You're awesome. Well, that's my own testimony. It's been some years ago, if I've been doing this for 20 years, it's been a few years before that. I had a husband that was an alcoholic, and I'm going to be brief this morning, by the way, because I've got a book there, but we're going to keep it real brief. I had a husband that was an alcoholic, and through a series of events, we ended up at a pastor out of the blue for him to be prayed for to be healed. And long story short, they had a flat tire on the way, and they called me to go take them out to the church, because I said I didn't want any part of it. Miss Spiritual, right? So got out there and God delivered him, set him free. It was, I mean, because he was a alcoholic where he'd get like this in the morning until he had a drink. He left out of that place. It was straight. He was totally healed and set free. Amen. Well, the pastor didn't know him. And so they called me about a week later and wanted me to come in and talk to me. They wanted to counsel me. And I'm like, okay. Well, they called me in twice. So what it came down to is that they wanted to know how I got to that place where this miracle happened. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just here. And so he looked at me, and he's the old-time Pentecostal preacher. He would run the pews in the back, you know, just the old-time Holy Ghost pastor. And he looked at me, and he said, well, I'll tell you what, you are called to the deliverance ministry. I really wasn't in church, but he said, you're called to the deliverance ministry, but to minister deliverance, you have to be delivered, and you can start by stop smoking cigarettes. I hadn't a clue what that meant. I didn't know, but I started going to church there, and just the old time religion, and you know, the men on one side, the women on the other, and just the power of God would move, and I started going up for prayer every week, and you know, just all laid out on the floor, and the Lord started doing a work in me. And I just started pouring myself out, saying, Lord, you know, do something in me. And the great thing about it is my children started to see me change. They were like, wow, Mom, this is great. We're going back again this week. You're really getting it. You're really changing. This is awesome. And so, you know, and that was a season. And I just started seeking the Lord. A few years later, I ended up in a church that had a cell groups. And ended up holding a cell group. I wasn't called to ministry. I knew it. And one of the pastors said, you're going to have a cell group. And I said, no, I'm not. And she says, oh, yes, you are. I'm like, no, I can't. It's Faye Lay, if anybody knows Faye Lay. I absolutely had a cell group, just like she said. And in doing so, one of my attendees, Paul Sung. Does anybody know Paul Sung? He was he was from China back years ago. And he came to my group one week, and he handed me this book. And it was a Win Worley book. I don't know if anybody is familiar with Win Worley, but he does straight-out deliverance. And people manifesting and going, in his meetings and things like that. And I'm like, oh, my. But I took a different route, and I just started working just my deliverance and how what the Lord was working in me, and he was teaching me things in his word. And so in the cell ministry, it was opened up within the church that they were trying to grow the ministry, and they said that you could do whatever you want to do. You could paint china, you can have exercise classes, you can do whatever you wanted to do. And so I thought, why don't I minister deliverance? Strange thought, all right? I mean, not everybody did that. A lot of people did the exercise classes. So I worked with the pastoral leadership, and I wrote the messages, and I started having a cell group. Well, from my cell group, I started going into other cell groups. And so I had a group of people. So I would teach for 6 months. At the end of the 6 months, I would have a prayer retreat, and we'd have this glorious time. We used to rent a room at the Holiday Inn there on Fern Valley Road, and I would have my group of ministers, I'd have my group of intercessors. Did this as a layperson back 20 years ago, and the God was just moving, and He birthed this. He birthed this ministry out of my walk with the Lord, even though I didn't know it when He delivered my husband, but he just led me in that way, and hence the name Walk Free, because we have to walk it out. When we walk with him, He'll lead us and He'll guide us. Amen. And He will set us free. Praise God. Well, from that, you know, we went to minister regionally, internationally, and God's just been faithful. He's just been so faithful to know the times and the seasons. And it's having your trust in Him and letting Him walk with you. I have books back there if anybody would like one. It's four chapters on the principles of spiritual warfare. I won't go through the four chapters today, praise God. We'll keep it brief, praise God. But I want us to open our Bibles this morning to Ephesians 1:17. And as you're turning there, let me share with you that there's basic tenets of spiritual warfare that God has shown me over the years. And some of these will be very familiar with you that are outlined in the book. And one is goes along with the identity conference, and that is knowing who we are in Christ. And, you know, there's all different kinds of facets in there, but who we are in Christ, number one, we have to have the assurance of our salvation. Because new converts, old converts, and until you absolutely know that you are saved, the enemy loves to come and tell you you're not. And he'll come to you and he'll say, hey, you know, how do you know there's really a heaven? How do you know there's really a hell? And he'll play with your mind in those ways. And until you go through the warfare of and getting settled in your mind of knowing where you are and what you believe and where you belong, that becomes a basis of your spiritual walk with God, as you were just saying, is that when you get that foundation, then you know where you are, because the Bible says that we were bought with a price. We were bought with a price, and we belong to Him. We belong to Him. And when we know that and we have the knowledge of the power of the blood of Jesus, and we know that the enemy cannot cross that bloodline. So when you know you're saved, you know that the enemy can't cross that bloodline. But you see all these things happening in your life. And you got to, you know, I don't know about you, I've been beat up a lot. I mean, even after I've been saved, it's like, you're kidding. All this stuff going on. And it's like, well, what's going on? But when you're a young Christian, you don't understand it. But it's learning to wage the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Yes, there are heavenly strongholds, but it's the strongholds within us. When we have the knowledge of our salvation, when we have the knowledge of the power of the blood of Jesus, that when we have all hell come against us, there are tools that we can use that He has given us, that we can stand against the devil, and it comes through the disconnection of us in our surroundings. I'm trying to condense this as much as I can. It's too much to try to condense. And one of the ways we do that is the renewing of our minds. Okay, we've all, you know, Joyce Myers, you show the renewing of our mind. It's the teaching's been around for a really long time. There is that. There is, I'm going to go real quick. Within the renewing of our mind, there is the power of agreement. The power of agreement is phenomenal. It's what we come into an agreement with of our life. And then it's walking in the Spirit. It's doing all to stand, therefore, having your loins girded about the truth, with the armor of God, to know how to stand, that when we have the enemy in our lives and we know what's going on in our lives, that we are able to stand, that we are able to truly walk in the Spirit, where we're able to take that authority and dominion. And lastly of all, it is knowing that everything that we have belongs to God. And knowing that everything that we have belongs to God, that the enemy uses those hooks. He uses the relationships. He uses the desires of our heart. He uses the past wounds. He will use that to pull us out, to get over into areas like depression and rejection, and into those areas that we're not stable in our walk with Him. To take that full circle is that when we are in that place and we go back to the beginning, to know that we are saved, We are covered in the blood. The enemy cannot cross that bloodline. And we can stand with all these weapons and take authority of them. This is in a nutshell, that we can push back the hand of the devil in our lives. And we have to know who we are. We have to know who we are. Praise the Lord. Let's go on now to the scripture. And I'll backtrack just a little bit. That's the overcap. In Ephesians 1:17. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of inheritance in the saints. Now, the hope of his calling in that scripture is really salvation. And I think we would all know what salvation translates over to. Salvation translates over to that we are saved, we're going to heaven, we are healed in our spirits and in our bodies, and we are delivered. I don't know about you, but over the years, I've never really heard the deliverance part. You know, everybody just kind of like tucks that one away. And that's the norm, because everybody, you think, oh, you think I have an issue. Well, no, not really. Here, let me put on my good face today. We'll go like this. But we are called to deliverance in the body of Christ. And it doesn't have to be some ooey-gooey, super spiritual, weird thing. It becomes a process that we look in our lives to see what's going on and tell the devil no. Simple. Yeah. It can be that simple. Now, there's a lot in between there, but it can be that simple. One of the major ways is to know what's going on in our own heads. What's going on? Ye shall be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. And when we're renewed in our mind, we're able to see things clearly through, as it says in scripture in the 17th verse, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That when we begin to disconnect ourselves from our circumstances, our relationships, in a healthy way, and to begin to look at them in a way through God's eyes, we begin to look at those things like, if somebody's making me upset, why are they making me upset? You know, if you're kind of evoking something out of me, you know, what's going on here? You know, you start, that's the renewing of your mind. That's that process where you're going to draw on the wisdom and knowledge of the Lord to start walking out of that behavior. And I was so blessed a couple of weeks ago when our pastor told a story. And it was a story of when he was down at the urban center, and that the lady with the clothes, the fab bags of clothes, and she went out and sold them. I enjoyed that so much because of your response. Because you had a predisposed attitude of, oh, look what she did. But then he went through the process of going, why shouldn't she? Why shouldn't she? And he released that stronghold of what he thought she should do. And how freeing. I was just so happy when I heard that. It's like, yes, I'm not the only one. But we all can come to that place, if you're not already, where we can take our thoughts and use our very thoughts as the judge and the guide to say, where are we at this point? And then when we see things, we have a choice of whether we walk in agreement with that attitude or not. If someone is rejecting me, if someone didn't include me, if I don't feel like they've given me what I need, and I see that and I start processing it, I have a choice at that moment of what to do with it. I can go, yeah, man, you know, they weren't right. Like, all I've done for them, and they're not going to include me in this. And, you know, you can start on that whole scenario. Or you can say, wait a minute, that's not God's way. you know, it doesn't matter if they're choosing to act that way, because I'm whole within myself and I'm okay within myself, and I can bless them where they are, no matter if they've done what I expected them to or not. Because as it comes down to it, nobody is ever going to do what you think they should do to your satisfaction. And when you get to that place in your mind to know that, that the only person that is going to fulfill that role is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is your basis. And that is your foundation. And it's your walk with Him. And then you're able to loose those people. You're able to loose those circumstances. And where, you know, perfect example is children. You know, little toddlers, little kids, even little babies. They know how to get at you really quick. They know how to push those little buttons real quick. And they'll, you know, I have some toddler grandchildren, and they'll, you know, they'll just kind of start little in the beginning, you know, and they'll watch you, and then, you know, they'll bump it up a little bit more. And when they see that reaction out of you, you know, then they'll bump it, and they will watch you until you just go, what are you doing? Okay. But see, I'm not calling children the devil by no means, but that is what the enemy likes to do with us. He likes to get us in the place where he's going to pull our triggers. He's going to take us into that place. So what happens is that you're somewhere in your mind that you're not supposed to be. You're all caught up in this. And then you're walking in agreement with these unruly emotions, and you're acting out on the far end. But in reality, if we just see it coming, and as Barney used to say, nip it in the bud, and we see it and just stop it right then and there and see where it's coming from and don't fall for the same old thing. Well, I was going to say this a long time ago, but let me get back to it. Is one of the things that my husband always used to say, and this is not a spiritual principle by any means, but sometimes we can just draw on good old common sense, right? And he used to say, and I was kind of a dumb old girl. I was really naive, and he helped me with a lot of that. But he used to say the best way to get away with something is to do it right in front of their face. You know, and as the years went on, I started looking and going, you know what? That's true. That's true. If you try to hide something that, you know, I mean, you go, what's going on over there? You know, like little kids that try to, you know, do things, you know, it's like, hey, stop that. But if they act like nothing, you just leave them alone and you let them play while they're good, right? Same principle. Well, the devil does that to us. Here we go. Through the spirit of revelation and the knowledge of the Lord. And you draw on Him. You draw on Him. And you check things through Him. When someone comes at you, when you have mindsets, and you go, oh, you know what, I really had a bad attitude about that. Have anybody ever done that before? Has anybody ever caught yourself with a bad attitude? Yeah, yeah. But see, and when you do that, you can take that and say, you know, Lord, I repent of that action. Lord, help me to change from that. And you know, it may take you 10 times, but if you bring that before the Lord as a point of surrender and say, Lord, help me with that. Do you know what happens with that, with your inner man? Is your inner man starts connecting, getting stronger with the Holy Spirit, and you start cultivating that, and you start growing in that, and that's one of the principles of walking free, is you're pushing the garbage out of the way in between you and the Lord. I've had people come to me and say, I've got this oppression. Get it off of me. I've got this, you know, I am so uncomfortable. You know, just pray for me, will you? And I'll say, well, maybe. I said, you know, you need to go learn some things first. And that's not what they want to hear. Because it's not our comfortableness. Comfortableness? Is that a word? It's not our comfort level that the Lord wants. Sometimes he'll put us through those things so that they will come to the surface so he can deal with those. My cliche that I say and that I say is it has to come up before it comes out. It has to come up before it comes out. So you deal with those things, and the whole purpose that God wants from us through deliverance and dealing with all of these things is to facilitate a close walk with him. It's a close walk with him because he wants to walk with us. He wants to talk with us. He wants to be in constant communion with us, which takes us to another chapter of walking in the Spirit. Is when you're coming into an agreement with the Holy Spirit and you're coming out of an agreement with the devil and with the things that he's imparted into your life. Then you're readjusting and you're realigning yourself to become who you were created to be. Because this is my identity conference in a nutshell, is because we were created in him from the foundations of the world. So what we are is we are an expression of him. We are an expression. We are him. He made us. He made us in his image. So when we step out of the bondages and we go after him and we realize that he made us who we were created to be, whether we like to cook, work on cars, read, and realize that our whole being is a part of him, is in an expression of him, then we can come into the fullness of our relationship with him, less all the bondages. And then when you get into that place, boy, it's joyful. And you walk into a place that's full of peace and full of joy of what he meant for us to have. And the goal is to not go like this. Be, you know, get really angry and go off the deep end or spend a couple of weeks in depression. The goal is that we can walk free of those things by walking out in agreement of what the enemy has brought into our lives. And so whether our lives have been like this emotionally, that we can maybe go like this. And then we can start. Our goal is to walk like this with the Lord, that we can bring everything under his feet. And by the power of the blood, we can take authority over the enemy and what he has brought into our lives. It's been my experience. You know, I've taught this, like I said, for the last 20 years. I'll go through things and here and there, let me make that statement. And, you know, because we're always going to experience things in this life. And I've had people say, what about what you teach? Let me get back to that. Because we are human. We are all human. And we're never going to arrive while we're here. We can strive for that place of constant communion with him. We can seek to be in that place that is very, very sweet. But we're never going to be perfect until we have our glorified bodies. And what that means is that it establishes our total dependence on him. It's our total dependence on him. I've had people say they've gone through deliverance and they've gone through, I don't know, maybe what, two or three sessions they've, you know, been prayed for. And they go, praise God, I've been set free. I'm delivered. Well, if that was possible, then we'd have to start all over. Because if that were possible, then you're declaring in pride that you're free and that you are like the Lord, and that you don't have any issues. And so we're going to need to start from the beginning and cast out that spirit of pride. Amen? Amen. So we never want to be in that place where we think we've arrived, but we're on that total dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the sweet space. That is it. Praise God. Now, you know, that's in a nutshell my whole book. And so let me have a summation, is that really it all comes down to this. Are you ready for the ultimate summary? Here it comes. You know, can we have the little clip? Okay. Now, this is a joke. Don't take it too serious. But let's laugh a little bit. Okay. What does one do with a toaster that's possessed? Unplug it, stupid. You know, there's a lot of wisdom in that. There is a lot of wisdom of that. Just good old common sense. And, you know, to come, to develop that scripturally, if I could make Garfield spiritual this morning. I'm sorry. With all his sarcasm. It comes down to this, is that the foundational deliverance scripture, okay, if you want to go through deliverance, the ultimate spiritual warfare scripture, that if you want to get victory, if you want to know what to do, yes, you can be renewed in your mind. Yes, you can come in an agreement. Yes, you can do all of those things. But here's the bottom line. James 4:7. Submit yourself to the Lord. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Submit yourself to the Lord. Resist the devil, and he will flee. That is a foundational principle that works across the board, no matter where you are. Is there anybody in here that doesn't have any issues? I didn't expect any raised hands. Is there anybody in here with issues? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know about you, but you know, I've always wanted to be clean. When I read in the scripture, Jesus says that the enemy has nothing in me. I thought, oh, how beautiful. How beautiful that you know, I know what the devil has brought into my life. And yet I've had words of prophecy saying, boy, you've been through a lot, haven't you? Yes, I've been through a lot. But, you know, that doesn't matter. You know, what matters is that all things work together for good, for those that love him and that are called according to his purposes. And when we take what the devil has shot at us and we take it and we turn it around and say, no, you're not doing it. That what the force that he brought into our lives, we can turn that into a force where it can propel us closer to the Lord. And it takes a spiritual stature. It takes a spiritual strength, because when the enemy comes at you, you just want to go, and you want to respond and you want to react. But when you grow to that point where you can stand, didn't Paul say, having done all to stand therefore? Because when you stand, because you know, you have your breastplate of righteousness, your helmet of salvation, your loins are girded with truth, your feet are shod with the gospel, you have your shield of faith, you have your sword of the Spirit, and you're using all of these things, you're taking on that armor. But he says, having done all, stand. Because if you've gone through, you have a helmet of salvation, and you've done that warfare in your mind, and you've gone through this whole process, you know the gospel, you've done all this thing, you've quoted scripture after scripture after scripture, you've taken your sword and you've sliced up many, many devils. And Paul said, you know, having done all to stand, Just stand there. And where are you standing? You're standing in your salvation. You're standing at the place where you know where you belong, and that the enemy cannot cross that line. It may feel it, but it's what you choose to see. It's what you choose to see. You choose to grab a hold of the Lord and the power of His might, and the enemy has to go. So the foundational scripture of James 4:7 is, submit yourself to the Lord, resist the devil, and you will flee. The counterpart to that, or the partner of that scripture, is Psalm 68:1. Is, let God arise, and the enemy will be scattered. So as you're going through those battles within yourself, and because sometimes it can get intense, right? You have to choose whether you're going to grumble about it or you're going to let it go. You have that choice. And when that battle's on, you can choose, let God arise, and then the enemy will be scattered. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to ask you today about certain struggles that you're dealing with. And I want to give you an opportunity, because my ministry is this, is that there is the truth encounter, that we come to the knowledge of truth. And it's true for any ministry, should be. It is, I know, in this house. But the truth, there's the truth encounter where you come to the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God and who He is. But you, because you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But there is also that you know the truth of what's going on with you. And you come to that truth to know, you know what, I need to put this at the foot of the cross. And when you come to the foot of the cross, that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That when I want to give you the opportunity to put that at the foot of the cross, because there's the truth encounter, but there's also the power encounter, where you can sit and listen all the day long, but you need an opportunity to say, yes, Lord, I need you to do your work in me. And when you get to that place, no matter if you're in church, no matter if you're driving, no matter if you're at home doing whatever you do, you can always take in that place and say, yes, Lord, I need you to touch me now. With every eye closed and head bowed, I want to ask you today. The Holy Spirit is wonderful. When we humble ourselves, we humble ourselves before Him. Say, Lord, what do you want to take from me today? Lord, what can I offer up to you today? Lord, what can I give you? Whether He convicts you of sin or an attitude, maybe there's a situation that you're dealing with that you just need to bring Him before the Lord and put it at the foot of the cross and take it off of you today. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, that you know what we all go through. And that, Lord, that you are not far, but you are so near. You are so near, and that you are here, O God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And we give you the opportunity for prayer. And if you need special prayer, you're welcome to come up and receive prayer. Praise God. Praise God. He's here. God is here. He's here in this place. And you know, it's not a shameful thing to say you're struggling. It's not a shameful thing at all. That's what the devil wants you. That's what the devil wants you to think. You know what I enjoy doing is saying, Lord, what do you want to take next? Here it is. What do you want? Huh? Here, let me walk in purity. Let me walk in wholeness before you. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Can I ask everyone to stand? Do we have music? Do we have a little music? Yeah.